T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Touchdown! Unbelievable! Vikings win it!
Bigger miracle, ladies and gentlemen. The way the Patriots beat the Jets are the Minneapolis miracle. There's something to chew on a Thanksgiving.
That was an all-timer.
It was. I wonder if they did a greatest ending to a game in NFL history. I really do wonder if...
I still think it's the Music City Miracle.
Well,
I don't know if that'll be top.
That was a playoff game.
And that was an insane play that you don't see all the time. Like, it's one thing, a deep pass down the field, something happens, great play by a great receiver, whatever. But, like, the throwback by a tight end all the way across the field and, like, not, you know, making sure that it was behind the line, like that, and then running it back for a score... I think that's the craziest, like, in the NFL. Like,
so
banned on the field is the most insane thing you'll ever see in college football. But in the NFL, I think the Music City Miracle, greater than Minneapolis
and
Miracle.
And see, that's the thing is that there are moments like that that swung a game the other way at the very end. And then there are the traditional great comebacks. Houston in Buffalo, down, 35, whatever it was.
Patriots-Falcons.
Right. Yeah. There's that whole comeback. Patriots-Falcons, that's another one. Because you wouldn't say James White scoring that touchdown at the end of the Super Bowl is like the greatest ending to a game in NFL history. It might be the most important comeback because it happened in the Super Bowl.
Right.
But it's not the... This game was close, and then here's the one moment
that sticks out in history. There's always the debate about, like, well, it's a great comeback. Doesn't mean it was necessarily a great game, because for a little while there, it was not a great game.
No, it wasn't. Well, like, remember there was the Monday Night Football game where Antonio Freeman, where they didn't think
that was an insane catch.
And then he got up and ran in the end zone, and it was like, oh, my God, they won the game. Like that.
Yep.
That's where, like, the Minneapolis miracle kind of comes into play. And, of course, it is a what-if Wednesday. And since it is, what, a second or third time on the show, I think we'll allow Coop to take the training wheels off a little bit.
Wow, this is a big spot for Coop.
It really is. And I know that Rob Bradford has prepared him in many different
Groomed
ways.
Groomed him, some would say.
Groomed him.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Making this sound like the Catholic Church.
No, I like this. Yeah, well,
you can take it any direction you want. I'm just saying he's groomed him.
Listen, people look at Rob Bradford and they automatically make a snapshot decision on what they think he is. Mm-hmm. So... and if he didn't dress like a hobo all the time, then, you know, he'd be okay.
You're forgetting that he coaches high school basketball as well.
Oh, JV coach?
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
I love the man, but it's a tough look.
That is.
He dresses like Avon Barksdale when he's on the sideline of those games, too.
Ooh. Now, I wonder if he a guy like Joe Mazzulla, doesn't call a timeout, let the players figure it out, or is he
burns
all his timeouts and is always there with
the
clipboard, screaming at these guys? Getting teed up every week.
Telling on his phone buzzes. Timeout.
Yeah.
Hi, Ken. What do you
Joe
need?
Joe Kelly's calling me.
Yeah, Ken Laird's calling him.
He's recording a podcast at halftime.
That's right. He's got
Lou, the floor is yours.
That's one of the best ones
it
ever.
It really is.
All right, Coop, what do we have?
All right, we got the Minneapolis Miracle.
I'll do the first one. You just expect me to do a dry run at this? Yes.
Done.
All right.
How hard is it to say what if?
I'll do it. I'm used to going dry.
Take a lap.
What if the Minneapolis Miracle was incomplete?
So this ties into the Patriots. It does.
No, I'm not. I'm laughing at Coop.
Oh, yeah. Well,
gets his big moment.
It was worth a shot.
Craps pants.
He goes, okay. Well,
whizzed at the free throw.
Listen, I'm doing my best over here.
Here we go. Time now for. Like, all right, we're done. So the Vikings beat the Saints on that play.
Okay.
The Vikings then went on to the NFC Championship game where they lost to Nick Foles and the Eagles, who then went on to beat the Patriots, obviously.
Okay.
So, if the Saints beat the Vikings,
okay,
do you think the Saints would have beaten the Eagles, and would it have been a Patriots-Saints Super Bowl?
That's a great theory, and I think you're right.
I do.
I'm with you on that, because the Saints, for a period of time, we've come to know that the Saints are very up and down.
Mm-hmm.
But they did have that window in there where it was, okay, we're really good. We're pretty good. And they had that championship credibility as well. As we know, they got that Super Bowl where the Patriots, you know, probably could have been there on the other side, because that was the year that, Indianapolis, did they beat? I'm trying to remember now. The year that Indianapolis won the Super Bowl. I'm trying to remember if they did beat New England
Indian
or whatever.
No, Indian lost to
the Saints.
They beat the Bears.
It was the Bears I'm thinking of. But yeah, absolutely. I think it would have been the Saints. Yeah. They had everything that you really wanted. And now, unfortunately for them, they keep chasing it. But they don't have the quarterback that they know that they can rely on.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, quickly on the Saints, you see Jameis Winston did the... I thought the rule was you didn't lose your job because of injury.
You can't do that. Everybody knows that.
Bobby Bowden taught me that.
Like, well, you lost your job because the other guy played better.
Exactly.
That's how it goes.
All right, Coop.
What if Algie Crumpler broke his leg before the 2004 season?
The Vikings' Jermaine Wiggins, he kind of wowed the crowd, just knew he had the windmill going, the people's elbow.
So I don't even know what to say. So he, because
that Wiggy thing completely
Wiggy makes the Pro Bowl.
Pro Bowl snub. He probably should have been in the Pro Bowl anyway.
I don't know.
He had some really good years with Minnesota. No, Wiggy absolutely had some good years with Minnesota.
That was the year that Algie Crumpler went to the Pro Bowl and Wiggy was snubbed.
No, I know.
I thought you guys would have got that much faster.
No. You could have made the case that he could have been a Pro Bowler either year. So Dino, and this is before the days of Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Rob Gronkowski.
Did you know I had 10 catches in the snow?
Wiggy had 71 catches for 705 yards in 04, and then he had 69
Moss
nice
opened
catches
up everything underneath
in 05. Yeah, that's what he says. He admits that. And for 568 yards. So he had two really good seasons. He played three seasons in Minnesota, but two of them kind of stood out.
So this was 04, right?
Yeah, he could have been a Pro Bowler.
2004 Pro Bowl
he should have been.
Roster.
He should have been.
I'm just really curious as to what the numbers were then. And the reason is because we now have a hard time contextualizing. Like, there are tight ends like Kelce who go get, like, 1,400 yards now.
Crumpler had 48 catches that year. Wiggy had 71.
Wow.
And the yards were pretty similar. Crumpler had, I think, two more touchdowns, but he made the Pro Bowl. And the reason why, as Wiggy would point out, Crumpler made the Pro Bowl the year before, and then it was just sort of like he's a Pro Bowler. So Wiggy feels like if he had made it in 04, he also would have made it in 05 because it's like winning a gold glove. They're like, who had it last year? Yeah, put him in there. And so really it cost him two Pro Bowls.
All right, so Shockey was on that Pro Bowl roster as well.
Okay.
According to the Wikipedia.
I would say deserving.
In 04, he had 61 catches for 666 yards and six touchdowns.
So Wiggy had more catches than Jeremy Shockey that year.
And then the other one was Bubba Franks. And I'm trying to, Bubba Franks, right? Like, exactly.
Oh, classic.
All right, 04, Bubba had, this can't be right. Bubba Franks in 04 had 34 receptions for 361 yards. That's it. And he was like an alternate for the Pro Bowl.
Oh, my God.
According to the Wikipedia.
Yikes.
Wow.
Was that the Love Boat year? Maybe that one came back to bite Wiggy as far as Pro Bowl.
I thought that was
perhaps. Jason Witten also made the Pro Bowl, and he deserved it. He had better numbers than everybody. Tony Gonzalez in the AFC had crazy numbers. So I guess there was at least a couple receiving tight ends there. But after those two, it kind of went down. Antonio Gates in the AFC.
05, John.
Oh, so it was the next year.
Wig got porked.
That's what it comes down to.
Plain and simple. Yep. All right, Coop.
What if the Jets drafted Mac Jones instead of your mother's favorite quarterback, Zach Wilson?
Well, they, in hindsight, should have...
You can do ASMR.
Thank you.
Nah, save it for the podcast. I would say they should have drafted Justin Fields in reality. Because remember, we did months leading up to the draft that year, and it was Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields are the two best quarterbacks, the two best quarterbacks, two best quarterbacks. Then all of a sudden the year ends and people are like, well, Zach Wilson and Trey Lance, and then Mac Jones all of a sudden is a first rounder. And you're like, wait, what?
And then Justin Fields was lazy all of a sudden.
All of a sudden he like couldn't read a defense. He couldn't read a book, but Zach Wilson was a genius. And you're like, what happened?
That even I was sticking up for Justin Fields. I don't think Justin Fields reads a defense great. And there's been a lot of his
take. That was a bad take by Orlovsky.
Well, there's been quite a bit of evidence to show that Fields had some issues with that. But in comparing him to Zach Wilson,
oh, James were right.
So the Jets would be way better off, I would say, with both guys.
And that's why the general manager down there, Joe Douglas, is in a little bit of danger.
Yeah, because it's one thing when you draft a quarterback who can't play in the first round, but it's so much worse when you find maybe another couple of guys and they were all sort of in the mix. It's one of my big knocks on the Patriots with the wide receivers. The years that they swung and missed on wide receivers, they picked from a pool of players who were good. Mm-hmm. Right? Like they drafted N'Keal Harry over like five guys who are really good. So that's a bigger issue. So if you draft Zach Wilson, everybody was on the board but Trevor Lawrence, and you took the wrong guy, like at the very least, Fields and Mac Jones are better, and we don't know about Trey Lance.
Well, and I think when you're that high up, like if you're drafting a guy at the bottom of a first round or in the second round, there is levels of selection there that is fine. But when you're like, okay, the number two
overall pick.
We already know what the number one pick is going to be. Like there was no question as to who was going to be the number one pick. But then it's you have the whole rest of the field, no pun intended.
Yeah.
And you did this. That's where it really puts the pressure on the GM.
And like, you know, you go back to the Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf draft. Like, so Peyton Manning goes one, so they hit that one, and then Leaf goes two. But I don't even know who the third quarterback was in that draft. So, yeah, he was a bust, but they needed a quarterback. They thought he was going to be a good quarterback, and it's not like they chose him over another guy that was really close.
Right.
But, like, the Jets had to have conversations. Zach Wilson or Justin Fields, Zach Wilson or Mac Jones, Zach Wilson or Trey Lance, and that whole group was like, Zach Wilson. They got it wrong.
By the way, Zach Wilson benched. Put another in the Patriots' defensive body bag, according to the
Further
real...
Further proof that they got it wrong. They benched him in year two.
The real Adam Schefter is reporting.
Yes,
this is blue check mark, 10 million followers, all that.
And so that was supposed to be, funny that we're talking about this, Sunday, Jets-Bears, Zach Wilson versus Justin Fields. And I know Justin Fields is kind of banged up, so we'll even see on that. But that could have been a matchup of the two quarterbacks, and they don't even get it because they're going to sit him down.
So Zach Wilson, 5-2.
Yeah, he was.
Two losses to the Patriots, though.
Correct. And then I think what cost him his job was what he said after the game. I think it had more to do with him losing his job than, you know, going 9-22, which, by the way, was not ideal.
Nope.
He's airmailing running backs in the flat, that whole thing. But I think him not taking any accountability at all, they're like, forget this guy. Because they're 6-4. They're like, we don't want to punt on this season.
Right.
Now, if they lose another couple of games with Flacco or Mike White or whoever, I wouldn't be shocked if they go back to him, like if they're out of it.
Yeah.
But as long as they're still in it, they can't play him.
It's clear that they might have lost the locker room as well. All right, one more quickly, Coop. Give us the last one.
What if Aaron Judge signs for over $400 million with the Giants?
Well, the big winner would be Rafi Devers because it would be a guy who hit another benchmark, and that'd be a $400 million deal. I don't know if it's going to get that high for Aaron Judge, but they're going to make a big run.
It also will fit sort of my thought on great baseball players who hit free agency. Like 99% of them leave their team. And even if they're leaving a team that has a big budget, whether it's the Yankees, the Red Sox, whatever, if they don't sign early, they end up finding another team.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would sort of fit that, which would make you think Bogarts is gone, and it would make you think if you don't sign Devers, he would also be gone in a year.
And I think the rest of the market is also waiting for Judge to sign. Not that it's going to affect pitchers necessarily, but...
No, but those four shortstops probably are, because they're like, listen, we're not asking for that, but you give us half of that.
Well, that's the thing.
We'll take $200 million.
But is it half of $400?
Yeah.
Or is it half of $350? Right? So for them, it's like, for those dudes, $25 million dollars might end up making a big difference. Coop, a job done. Thank you.
I do my best.
617-779-7937. We will get to the very latest with the Red Sox because there is some stuff out there, and we're going to bring to the air a conversation that we had with number 28, Lewis Maloney. Yesterday, as we were crossing in the hallway and leaving.
26, I think.
And was it 26?
I think Maloney was 26.
Correction, number 26, Lewis Maloney.
Yeah.
That's the way Bob Shepard always did it. No, 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 no. That's
why on earth would you play that?
Yeah, no, it wouldn't
it's
work.
Good walkout music.
Well, because I don't think it's the same as...
Yeah, what was his...
From Providence College!
Yeah, no, he's not playing for the Bulls.
At shortstop, number 26.
I'd imagine he did, though.
What was his walk-up? We could ask Lou what his plate music was.
Did they even do it back then?
I don't know. It's not like
walk-up music wasn't around yet.
He didn't play in the Stone Ages. The guy played, but
it was late 90s. Might as well be.
His last year in the league was 06, where they didn't have music yet.
You were listening to Korn as one of the party boys.
Watch a sports broadcast from 2005. It looks like it's from the Stone Ages.
I got the DVDs, that whole 04 run. You can pop that in. If you want, you have 5 hours to kill, we can watch game four.
Dear Lord. Okay. I guess K-Rod was one of the first ones that I remember, like, coming out of the bullpen who had, like, a little bit of music.
Trevor Hoffman came out to Hell's Bells. That guy played, like, 100 years ago.
But when did that start, though? That's a thing.
I don't know, 102 years ago?
102 years ago? Well, the game is over 200 years old, so maybe
it
so.
Is America's pastime.
It is something.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, some people have a baby if they find out that Xander Bogaerts is going to be gone. Or a coronary. Or a stroke. Or an aneurysm. Or
it's going to be a bad day, sad day.
Will it really?
I think it'll be a bad day, sad day.
Because
people like Bogaerts.
Well,
yeah.
They like him.
Love him.
Yeah.
Love him. They're in love with him.
Somewhat. It's a sad day. It's a bad day.
You don't think people love Bogaerts?
I think some do. I don't think everybody is.
Everywhere I go, people are like, Bogaerts.
The guy was shaking your wrist.
He said, tell me about Bogaerts. They bring Bogaerts back. I'm like, enough.
By the way, what's the latest on that? Have you bumped into him again?
Haven't seen him.
Bogaerts.
Oh, wow. I haven't seen him.
So there are offers out to Bogaerts endeavors, as we know.
Yeah.
And Xander Bogaerts was mentioned in the Chad Jennings column in The Athletic today. So Jennings did a roster projection 1.0.
Great.
Right? Yep. Always.
Get in there now. It's Thanksgiving.
So here's his lineup.
Jeez.
All right. We won't react to it. We will, because there's something about Xander in here that is interesting.
Yeah.
His projection is Trevor Story at second leading off, Devers at third hitting second, Xander at short hitting third.
Hmm.
He's got Jose Abreu, the DH, hitting fourth.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, wow.
Alex Verdugo in left hitting fifth.
Yeah.
Mitch Haniger in right hitting sixth.
All right.
Tristan Casas at first hitting seventh, Kike eighth, and Reese McGuire ninth.
Well, that is going to be glass overflowing right there. So you're bringing back Devers and Bogarts, and you're signing Jose Abreu? Like,
yeah.
Now, Jose Abreu is like 100 years old, so I don't know how much longer he's going to be good for, and I'd be curious like how many years they're willing to give him. But whatever, just that lineup alone looks pretty good, looks pretty promising.
Gives you something, right?
I don't know if Story wants to be a leadoff guy necessarily, but whatever. Whatever, that's fine.
Well, the Red Sox haven't had a leadoff guy since really Damon.
Since Coco Crisp.
Well, there you go.
No, Betts was good. Betts was really good. It was just the he really wasn't a leadoff hitter, so you didn't know what to do with him. But that's pretty promising. So that means he thinks Bogarts is coming back, which I don't think he is.
So here's what Chad Jennings wrote about Bogarts. He said, my understanding is that all of the there, meaning the Red Sox, mm-hmm. public comments are not merely pandering. The organization loves Bogarts and legitimately wants him back. It seems fair to argue it should have been done by now, but here we are. For the Red Sox, the Bogarts re-signing press conference comes a week before or a week after the Rafael Devers extension press conference. But for now, one at a time.
So listen, that would be great. Do you think they're going to bring back both of these guys?
Nope.
Like two long-term deals, which is what you're going to need. It might be 10 years for Devers and it might be 7 years for Bogarts.
Right.
And the fact that we haven't gotten anywhere with either one yet leads me to believe that at minimum one of them's gone.
Well, the Devers one, I'm not as worried about. I haven't been because there's time there.
Mm-hmm.
With Xander, there's the question of how far do you go? And this gets into a little, you know, quick conversation that we had with Marloni as we were kind of crossing over yesterday.
Yeah.
Where Lou was very kind of numbers based and it was, hey, these guys are good. But basically the synopsis of it was, they're good players, but they're looking for great player paydays. Now, then it becomes the sliding scale of what really matters to you. Would you rather have Devers, the long-term guy who's younger? Do you have to bring back Bogarts? Because there was the projections of Bogarts at shortstop, and there was, you know, just quick chatter with that amongst the three of us. But I got the sense just from the quick chat with Lou that it's like, okay, I want him to a point, but I'm not going to like go crazy. And I don't get the sense that Red Sox fan, that every Red Sox fan, obviously there are the like John and Rhode Islands go pay everybody kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But do you really think Sox fans are clamoring to have Xander back?
I think.
Is the how about this?
Well,
if it's a pot on the stove, is it about to boil over if he goes somewhere else?
I think in a way it's sort of a wait and see because he's not gone yet. So
right,
they're like,
all right.
So the idea of him playing somewhere else, it hasn't happened yet. But I do think as soon as he signs with the Phillies, I think people are going to lose their minds.
Well, okay, now
I do.
Now the Phillies will draw a different reaction, obviously, because Dombo's there.
Yeah.
And for those that are really paying attention,
if he goes to the Yankees, you don't think that would
get
people fired up?
Okay, that would be an extreme, no question.
So those are two, but I think he goes somewhere else.
But
yeah.
I wonder if, and you and I have been around this enough before, where it's the, oh my God, how could they do that?
Yeah.
And I just wonder if they'll be the vocal portion of Red Sox Nation that obviously will call us and kind of go nuts.
So the two that stand out
to me.
But
would you be devastated if Xander Bogarts leaves?
Well, the only reason I wouldn't be completely devastated, I'd sort of be annoyed, be like, all right, what's the plan? Like, what are you doing?
Right.
Who are you bringing in? Now you got to replace him. Your team already stinks, and now you got to replace one of your best players. So I'd be confused by the direction, which I already kind of am. But no, I look at it where there's been two guys that really stood out to me that I was upset that they left in the last, let's say, 15 years.
I know one.
Well, Manny Ramirez.
Uh-huh.
But obviously things went kind of sideways, right? It was kind of some off-field issues. It was getting kind of ugly there. I still hated it. I hated it. But you kind of are like, all right. And you still had David Ortiz. You still had a bunch of studs
on
the team.
See, there you go. That was the,
and
so
then
there
the
was
other
the
one.
Soft landing.
The
and
other one, Betts. Obviously, was Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
But I think their rationale was still got Rafael Devers, still have Xander Bogarts. So you're like, all right, I guess it makes it a little easier to take. But now if those guys walk away, what are you going to sell me on? Tristan Casas or Bobby Dalbec or Kike Hernandez? Like, no, you can't. Even Trevor Story, like, no.
That's why I think Devers will be here long term. Because yeah, I love these. Xander's going
to
go.
And so one of the questions when we were talking to Lou yesterday was, he said, how many times has Rafael Devers had an OPS of over 900 for a season? Mm-hmm. And the answer is once. Now, prior to signing with the San Diego Padres, Manny Machado had an OPS over 900 exactly once. And you can make the case he's obviously a better defensive player than Devers.
Yep.
But still, if you're just talking about the stick, he signed for 10 years, $300 million.
And at the time,
that was a couple years ago, and it surprised everybody they went to San Diego.
And at the time, Machado was a shortstop as yep. well.
And they moved him, but they moved him.
Young guy, yeah, premium yeah. at that. They moved him yeah. after they signed him. But a little bit of the questions that are there about Xander long-term defensively.
This, to me, though, is the risk you run by not signing this guy, in all seriousness, like in 2018. They could have gotten way out in front if they wanted to. Now, you got to... fingers crossed that the guy turns into the player that you want. But the Padres with Fernando Tatis Jr., now I don't know if they're regretting it after the steroid thing or not, but they at least locked him up. They're not talking about, oh, is he under contract? Julio Rodriguez, the rookie of the year in the American League, that guy had so many years of team control, and they were like, we'll sign you right now to a super long deal so they don't have to worry about it. If they really, really wanted Devers, don't they go to him in like 18 or 19
well,
and not wait until now?
I don't know if the industry as a whole, and I know we get into the business of baseball here, it had happened before, but it didn't happen with guys that were like 1 year in. Like you mentioned Julio Rodriguez, right? That was so rare because this was his rookie year.
Yep.
And they were like, oh my God. And I think for some of the teams that did do it, like that would have been a Tampa move. But and they what year was Longoria in when they gave him the massive deal?
Oh, they finally gave him a lot of money.
But I think it took a little bit.
Yep.
So I guess my wonder is this almost like a pandemic kind of thing where I think Tatis got his right around, was it coming out of the pandemic or right
was it
during
right,
it?
Was it before the little mini lockout?
Right, whatever yeah. it was. Because I wonder if now agents are willing to embrace it. Because Scott Boras did with Xander Bogaerts to a point, but Bogaerts was in a couple years.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we're seeing it with guys that are, well, you had a great rookie year. Well, this might burn us in the ass, but here's $180 million to be here for 10 years, and I wonder if that might be a future Red Sox strategy.
Well, and I also think Devers is very clearly looking at Aaron Judge and Xander Bogaerts. So mm-hmm. Aaron Judge, how much money does he make? So I'm going to take a discount off of that. I'm not saying I'm Aaron Judge, but oh. I still want to make a ton of money. And you look at Xander Bogaerts, not necessarily for how much money he's making, but he loves the guy. He's
yeah.
played his whole career with him in the infield. Like, he is really the team leader. And so if Bogaerts is gone, I don't know if Devers wants that. Like, does he want to be the de facto team captain? Is he ready for that? Does he have the personality for that? I don't know. Whereas Bogaerts, you know, does. Like, Bogaerts can be the face. He can speak after a losing streak. He can do all that crap. So if they move on from Bogaerts, Devers might be even more willing to say, all right, I'll wait till free agency. So you either have to trade me and get something for me now, or I'm going to play out the year and walk away like Aaron Judge likely
yeah,
will do.
Yeah, whereas I felt like Xander didn't have the kind of value before last season the way Devers would before this year. This year, hopefully you go in, or at least understanding the neighborhood that Devers wants to be in. And that gets us to one of the Spanish language reporters.
All right.
Marino Pepin, I'll go with that.
Okay.
He's got a Twitter and an Instagram and all. Probably a close personal friend of Coop's, because Coop knows all the baseball
probably
people.
Probably knows Coop, yep.
But he is reporting that the Red Sox are $50 million apart with Devers.
50? So the other report was 80, right? Was it Heyman?
Well, Heyman said 220 or so, right? So
hell.
He left it red. It could be 180, it could be 250. Who would
but
know?
Whether it's 80 or 50, and again, we're talking over the length of a 7, 8, 9 year deal.
Correct.
That's not that far.
No.
That's kind of...
you're in the neighborhood.
It's kind of a rare positive. Because how many times have we talked about Red Sox negotiating with a really good player and completely lowballing them or insulting them in arbitration by comparing them to a player that is beneath them or whatever?
Right.
This is manageable, right? Like, that is, whether it was 220 or 240 or whatever it was, I don't think Rafael Devers and his agent look at that as an insult. That's
agreed.
Sort of like a, all right, we now will actually negotiate. You're not going to negotiate with somebody when they offer you $100 million as Rafael Devers. Like, no, I'm not doing that.
Right.
So that at least is somewhat promising that he comes back. I just wonder, does Heim Bloom have the stomach to shell out let's call it $500 million for two players, who, by the way, were on your last place team last year.
Well, that's the other part of this, too, is that it feels like in almost every other sport in this city, if it were, you're the best player on a losing team, and it most would say, well, why do we want you?
Yeah, there is that. But so that's why what a difference it makes, I feel like, for how everybody would feel in the immediate reaction. Let's say Bogaerts and Devers' contracts were actually up last season.
But,
and they just went to game six of the ALCS.
Then you're in Mike Lowell mode.
And then you watch them walk away and be like, right, what the hell are you doing? So now I think there's a little bit more leverage for the team to be like, well, we have a lot of work to do here. Like, we can't just, like, if I was a GM and you were trying to negotiate with it, wouldn't you look at the Angels as an example and be like, listen, they have the two best players probably in all of baseball, and they don't win anything.
Three $30 million guys now.
Yeah, and they're
maybe
both
throwing Rendon. Oh, by the way, you see they traded for Hunter Renfro? Or Hunter Renfro?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's on his fifth team in 5 years.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I think it might be a Hunter Renfro thing.
He's a good player, though.
He's good enough.
Right. I mean, he's not great.
But no, but still.
Yeah, that one's weird. But so at least we're getting a few, dare I say, positive kind of updates for the Red Sox. If they're not that far off, nothing's happened. We're still waiting for anybody to make a move. Right? Like,
well,
the top guys.
Everybody is waiting for Judge, it feels like. Yeah. And then it'll kind of
go from
there.
You think he gets it done with this Giants thing that he's out there in San Francisco?
I think so.
Because there was a lot of smoke around them even weeks ago. Because remember the one report that came out, they said if the Giants lose out on Judge, it won't be because of money. So you're like, okay, then they'll get him.
You would think so. Yeah. They're going to have a massive offer. We are going to get to Keefe's Keys here quickly. However, Jun Lee predicts that the Red Sox will sign Japanese pitcher Kodai Senga to his prediction is 5 years, $85 million.
Well, they need all the help they can get in the rotation. I'd take a stab at this guy. Why not? You don't have to give up any draft picks.
Can I throw a one-year deal at Verlander and try to lure him in for crying out loud?
Verlander's not coming here.
It's worth a try. And Alex Spear has the Red Sox interested in Corey Kluber. Your thoughts?
Yeah, they should have been like 2 years ago.
They're late on that, right?
Yeah, I think they're a bit late on the Kluber
trade. Does he have a busted arm like James Paxton?
Oh, you might.
Give him $10 million and then let him rehab, and then maybe he stays for four or something like that?
Maybe that's what they'll do.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Gresh Keefe. It's time for the key.
Rich Keefe, what is going to be a couple of keys?
And now, what are your two keys tonight?
Gresh and Keefe presents.
So you're basically listing like 10 things. And out of those 10, four of them come correct. And you're like, see, I told you.
Keefe's Keys.
Today's keys to the game.
Keefe's Keys.
Time for the keys to the game.
Keys to tonight's game.
Who's going
to
win?
Probably one of the worst segments I've ever heard on Boston Radio.
Only the keys can tell.
There's your key right there.
Keefe's Keys.
It's Keefe's Keys.
Hey!
Keefe's key today. What's your one?
And a fob.
The fob's worth about 10 of them right there. That's worth its weight in gold right here.
Where's Mingles? We need all the keys.
Thank you, John. You can sprinkle those in as well. It's a big one coming up Thanksgiving night.
Tom Selleck's mustache in the Twitch chat. Mustache. Loves the keys. Shake them hard.
Gonna have to. The Patriots are getting 2.5, and the over-under is 42.5. So consider that as we go through the keys to the Vikings game.
Wow, it's down to 2.5.
2.5. Patriots are 3-2 all-time on Thanksgiving and 3-1 under Belichick.
Oh!
Belichick has won at least one game in 50 different stadiums.
Wow!
There are two current stadiums where he does not have a win. U.S. Bank in Minnesota is one of them.
Wow, that's a nugget right there.
The other, Allegiant Stadium in Vegas, where he'll also get a chance in a few weeks.
Where he'll win in December.
That's right.
Because he won in Aloha Stadium. Well, they've said Aloha to that anyway. They're blowing that up.
Yeah, he goes to the AFC probably to a win, I would imagine. Back in the day.
Pro Bowl in 06.
There you go.
Or 07, so after the 06 season.
And then came Dallas Thomas, right?
Yes. Yeah. Brought him in. And then that's where the love affair with Chad Ochocinco began, I believe.
That's right.
Kirk Cousins is 3-5 all time on Thursdays.
All right. There we go. Primetime Cousins.
Primetime Cousins. 10-18 in primetime. When the lights are bright, Kirk Cousins, not so much.
That's really amazing.
However, besides January, where he's only played four games, Kirk Cousins' best month. based on QB rating,
all right,
is November.
Oh.
A good November quarterback.
All right. Okay. He likes Thanksgiving.
The Vikings were not present for the first Thanksgiving, but they did enjoy a diverse cuisine, including cured and smoked meats, sausages, seafood, bread, porridges, fruits, berries, and nuts.
Porridge?
Yeah, they loved it.
By the way, see, my cat left us a headless bird this morning.
Saw that. What are you going to do with the rest of it?
I don't know. Right. My wife's probably going to walk around it for 5 hours until I get home.
By the way, it is Mike White starting for the Jets.
Mike Effin White.
Mike Effin White.
By the way, against that Bears defense, he'll probably have a good game.
I was just going to say.
He's probably going to do pretty well.
Wilson probably would have like 2 touchdowns. Yeah, they pull him out.
He would have. Patriots are about to play their first of 4 straight primetime games. The first time in team history that they'll play 4 straight in primetime.
Yeah, very inconvenient. Very inconvenient.
Mac Jones, 2-3 in primetime.
No.
2-3.
Short sample.
2-3. But Mac Jones is undefeated in November.
Ah, there it is!
Pats have the second-ranked defense in the league and the 20th-ranked offense, which seems high.
Oh, boy.
A little high.
It does seem high.
A common misnomer about Vikings, they did not drink beers out of the skulls of vanquished enemies. There's no evidence to support that.
What?
They didn't do it.
It's sort of made up. It's a made up thing.
That's okay. But Hagar the Horrible used to do it in the cartoons all the time.
Misnomer.
I don't even know if Coop even knows what the comic strip is.
No, probably not. Doesn't need to.
Those are the cartoons that don't move, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds like John Henry's son.
Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell was a bad draft pick by Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. What do you think of that? How's that going to play out on Thursday?
We haven't even talked about it.
No. Friend of the show, Matt Judon, has 13 sacks on the season. He's on pace for 22. Only 5 players in league history have had 22 or more sacks in a season.
Wow. Who will end Thanksgiving with more? Judon with sacks or Shime with plates of food?
Not fair to Judon.
That would have been a what if, damn it.
Not fair to Judon. And finally, there will be no Derricks in the game on Thursday night. So if you're looking for some Derrick football, you won't find it in Minnesota tomorrow night.
Very good. So Patriots plus 2.5.
Yeah, kind of like the Vikings. Inside of that 3, don't you think?
I think the Patriots are going to shock some people.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
They're going to score any points, or is the defense going to score the points?
I went 23-19.
23-19?
Yeah.
So what are we looking at there?
Both defenses will score touchdowns.
So you have the under?
Barely
it's 42
under.
And a half, so you're saying 42?
Well, no, 23-19 would be
42.
Is that right? Yeah, 42. All right, there we go. All right, so I'm under.
I think,
I'm under, I think.
All right.
Ah, look at that. Someone said 0 change to Raiders-Patriots stays on Sunday night. I kind of agree.
You think it stays on Sunday night?
Oh, yeah, Belichick against McDaniels. I would think so.
Especially if the Pats can win tomorrow or win a couple more and still be a playoff team, then yeah, you're right.
Hanging in there. There is Keith's Keys to get you ready for a Thanksgiving battle against Minnesota. The Prime Time Parlay is next.
It's Gresh and Keith on WEEI. It's time for the Gresh and Keith Primetime Parlay.
This is free money.
Watch the games on TV tonight and make free cash.
Give us your money.
Courtesy of Slim Whitman and Fat Eddie.
Thank you so much, Gresh and Keith.
On WEEI.
Absolutely, Gresh. Thanks, man. Thanks, Keith. Have a good one.
All right, here we go. Primetime Parlay. Wasn't very good last night.
Nope, not great.
Well, we didn't bust you completely. We had one winner.
Okay.
Sacra Tomato came through with
that hot streak
against Memphis, 1-4.
Did you see what happened at the end of that game? So, I think it was Malik Monk had a couple of big free throws, and John Morant went up to him and was like, don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it. And he didn't. He made them both. And then, like, the next trip down the floor, John Morant had free throws, and he missed them. So, yikes.
Ah, it's great.
Sometimes it bites you.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, that your Pistons-Nugs game missed going over by like 2 buckets.
I know. It was close.
Pretty nuts. And
Sabres-Canadians was close, though, right?
Yeah. They were 7-2.
Sabres were due.
Tell you what.
They were due for 7 goals.
Well,
they were making up for all the other games that they didn't score any in.
We love
rollover goals.
We love the Landman in every way.
Yeah.
But his picks the past 2 weeks have just been
what was
flush
last night?
Them. I mean,
should we start like subliminally feeding winners to him in the morning, like just as we're talking about our picks in the office?
I would like to find my own winner before I do that. I'm not going to give him one if I can't find one.
Yeah, but it's
trying,
you know, it's helping the group though.
He had Devin Booker points, rebounds, and assists over 40.5, and it didn't come close.
No, it was like 30, right? Anyway, 34. I looked it up.
Yeah, it was not good. But anyway, here we go.
Back on the horse. Now we have a lot to choose from.
We do, and we're not doing just a Thanksgiving group of games or nothing like that.
Or even Wednesday night. It's just the next couple of days. You can parlay these suckers and just watch the winners come in.
You want to lead the way?
Yeah, I do want to lead the way.
All right. By the way, we will be here on Friday to break down the Patriots game. I'll be with Hart.
So the NFL season.
One of us will be here.
Sweet Jesus.
I will not. So the NFL season's going to be, or has been, a bit wonky. And so it's been hard to predict. Last week, the Cowboys blew doors on the Vikings.
Okay.
Right? They destroyed the Vikings. The Giants lost to the Lions. So you're probably thinking, well, the way things are going, the Cowboys are just going to wax the Giants. Not so fast, my friend. Giants are getting 10 in a divisional game. I'll take the Giants getting 10 points. I think this one's going to be gross. I also kind of like the under, but I'm slightly more confident in the Giants covering the 10 because, again, everything would tell you, oh, Cowboys just going to blow doors. I don't think it happens. Close enough. Cowboys might win, but 10 points is a bunch.
That is a lot of points. John, what do you got?
There isn't a real large amount of analysis needed here. I have the Bruins beating the Panthers tonight. Unless you really think Trent Frederick not playing is going to swing this one to the Panthers' favor. That.
No.
The Bruins do win just about every single night, so it's not a bad bet.
Although the last time I picked in favor of a streak, which was last night, that did not go that
well.
Boy.
No.
Boy.
Your streaks are very different, but that's another story for another
time. I was watching
time.
The gears in your brain the second I said streak.
Oh, yeah, of course you knew it was coming. I Coop! Don't ruin this.
I mean, I'm probably already ruining this for a lot of folks with the soccer talk.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't mind it. No. Listen, stay strong with the Coots. The World Cup.
It's World Cup fever. I mean, there is nothing better than like blind nationalism.
Well, Spain's playing like Chechnya or whatever the heck going on.
Costa Rica.
Oh, okay. Costa Rica.
Yeah, Costa Rica.
Giselle's probably there.
Have you ever looked at a map?
No, but Costa Rica has a World Cup soccer team that qualified amongst all in the world.
They're probably better than the U.S.
Well, so is Italy. I don't think they're in this thing, are they?
They are not.
Right?
Wales is like barely even a country, and they were playing the U.S. yesterday.
Well, yeah. I mean, some of these countries, again, it's FIFA. Oh, hey, you have a country of 11 people, and half of them are men, but somehow you field a soccer team because your check cleared to FIFA.
No, you got to qualify. There's a whole tournament to qualify. The U.S.
didn't last time.
Didn't
the Saudis get a free team because they were –
the host team always gets to be qualified for free. Like, you're automatically in. Like, South Africa was in back in, like, 2010 because – That's where
and you get the host by bribing them. Yeah, I got it.
No. Well, yeah, that part is.
There you go.
That part
just
is.
Just back up a couple of Brinks trucks. You know, what of it?
What's that little, like, one-town country between France and Spain in the mountains there? Like Andorra or something? Luxembourg?
No, Luxembourg. Is that next to Northborough?
Come on,
or
I was
going to
say that. Okay.
Luxembourg is where the outlets are, right near Gillette, isn't it? Hi, Coop.
They put it at Wegmans.
All right, but speaking of Central Europe, we got Belgium taking on Canada at 2 p.m. tonight. They got the over set at 2.5 goals.
2 p.m. tonight.
2 p.m.
tonight.
Is that Central
Listen,
Europe?
Listen, it's matinee.
I think Luxembourg's like northwest Europe.
Okay, whatever.
It's along France.
He's a kid.
Sorry,
he doesn't
Belgium.
Know.
Tough go
2 p.m.
You pass geography?
Did I? Probably not. I was poli sci. I barely know anything.
You asked me if I looked at a map, if you looked at a clock.
But, all right.
As long as there's a winner in here, I really don't care.
I'm just
about
trying
the
to give
preamble.
You something to cheer for. Right. Pick the over. It's 2.5. Nobody likes low-scoring soccer games. Belgium, Canada. I've said this.
Luxembourg.
You're on me left and right, and you're not even actually listening.
You said Belgium was in Eastern Europe. Were you listening?
I said Central. What is this?
It's also not there.
Train wreck.
All right, so it's Belgium, Canada over 2.5 goals.
Fine.
How's this one? College basketball. UCLA, they're good. They're laying 16 to Pepperdine.
Ooh, Pepperdine.
Is that near Attleboro, too?
Great Pepperdine. It's an Eastern Bloc country. They're coming over to play UCLA.
You mean Pepperell?
Pepperell. All right, so UCLA minus 16 over Pepperdine. Keith's got the Giants plus 10 over the Cowboys. Coop's got Belgium, Canada over 2.5. John's got the Bruins on the money line. Keith for $10. What do the good people win?
$126.67.
What a nice way to start Thanksgiving there with a good primetime parlay from Gresh and Keith. We'll be able to get that out there at Gresh Keith on Twitter and Instagram. Andy Hart joins us at 12:20, but we'll get you ready for tonight. And we'll hear from Jim Montgomery on the Bruins leadership next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.